A Bloomington state senator blames lack of public buy-in on COVID restrictions for the widespread rule breaking.
But if you're concerned about compliance with the orders, then you should be concerned about the manner in which these orders are put into place.
That's Jason Barrickman. I'm Dana Vollmer, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for The Leadoff on WGLT and WGLT.org comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines. The Motor City is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.
It's Wednesday, December 16th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT Bloomington Normal's Public Media. Now, let's lead off with a Bloomington business at the center of a larger debate over the state's COVID rules. Ryan Denham has a story.
Most restaurants and bars stopped indoor service when the state restrictions kicked in last month, but not everyone. Joe's Station House in Normal and Joe's Pub in Bloomington stayed open. The owners even posted on Facebook about it, saying they would defy the new rules. The town of Normal sent a warning letter last night during a Bloomington Liquor Commission hearing. Mayor Terry Renner fined Joe's Pub $600.
What we're trying to get is compliance. That's what I'm after.
Hours earlier, Joe's Pub co-owner Joe Wargo appeared at a press conference alongside Republican State Senator Jason Barrickman. Wargo said to call the situation devastating doesn't do it justice. He says the latest mitigations hurt far more than those in the spring.
At least the last time we could hang our hats on, there is no playbook for COVID-19. This time should have been different.
Wargo says that Governor J.B. Pritzker should listen to the voices of other lawmakers, business owners, and residents before calling all the shots himself. Barrickman says those decisions were made without input from lawmakers or constituents.
Some people support them, some people don't. But if you're concerned about compliance with the orders, then you should be concerned about the manner in which these orders are put into place.
Barrickman blames lack of public buy-in for the widespread rule-breaking. The city of Bloomington has issued COVID-related fines against at least 10 businesses now. Mayor Renner says the money collected from those fines, about $5,000 altogether, will be sent to District 87 schools to help low-income families around the holidays.
It was never about the city collecting money. And so we want to make sure that establishments understand the importance of protecting the health of our residents during this crisis.
The town of Normal has sent warning letters, but has not apparently fined any liquor license holders just yet. Research has identified restaurants as a primary source for the spread of the virus. A study out of South Korea last month suggests the coronavirus, under certain airflow conditions, travels farther than 6 feet and can infect others in as little as 5 minutes. Reporting with Dana Vollmer and Charlie Schlenker, I'm Ryan Denham.
Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. McLean County saw 4 more residents die from COVID-19 complications, bringing our death toll to 73. There are now a record 29 McLean County residents who are hospitalized. A former Unit 5 staffer claims in a federal lawsuit the district's leadership failed to protect her from an administrator's sexual harassment and then retaliated against her when she raised concerns. And state employees could see furlough days as a way to help the state of Illinois balance its budget. That's according to a plan Governor J.B. Pritzker has laid out to cut $700 million from the budget. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. Not everyone will have easy access to a COVID vaccine, even when it becomes widely available. And not everyone wants one. In part 3 of WGLT's series on vaccine preparations, McLean County Health Department Emergency Services Coordinator David Hopper tells Eric Stock, vaccine equity is a major focus as they work to achieve herd immunity.
We have a couple of staff members whose sole purpose through this vaccine campaign is to work on vaccine equity. And so what they're doing ahead of time is, they're looking at lessons learned from the past. When you look at the 2009 H1N1 response, you look at earlier on how disproportionate COVID affected certain populations. They look at just historical data related to, reasons that barriers exist for certain populations. So, they've been researching that. They've conducted surveys. Vaccine hesitancy is a very real thing for a variety of reasons. And so, I mean, there's not like a really simple answer, but we have trying to uncover as many of those reasons as possible, and then to craft messaging specific to those populations, just to do whatever we can to kind of break through that.
What kind of targeted communication might that be?
I know I've worked with the team that is doing it, and it's going to be dependent on the population. I mean, that social media can work with some populations, but is not very effective for others. Utilizing a community leaders for populations for that, where that makes sense. You know, case managers. There are definitely populations where social media is going to be the way that you reach them. So it can really vary by what population that they're targeting.
How will the county be able to track who all has had it, who still needs a second dose, and how will you know when you get to a certain point, a certain saturation point, to get to herd immunity?
Generally, first, second dose management. ICARE takes care of that immunization registry system. Any provider in the county, the health department, a physician's office, a pharmacy, is required to report administration of all doses within 24 hours of those doses being administered to the ICARE system. And that ICARE system will be generally how anyone, when they show up for their second dose, I mean, we're going to give them a COVID vaccine administration card that will show what day they got a vaccine, what vaccine they received. And so that would indicate when they would be eligible to get their second dose. Not everyone will bring that back, so we will have access to ICARE so we can pull records for people at the point of dispensing to make sure that they're eligible for a second dose.
What questions or concerns do you have as you approach this with, you know, there's still probably a lot that hasn't fallen into place yet, but once the vaccine's here, everything's gotta go 0 to 60 pretty fast.
I guess you kind of mentioned like kind of what kind of concerns me. And it's optimism more than concern, but I'm just hoping for just flexibility, understanding. At least initially, we won't know when vaccine is coming. We won't know how much we're gonna get. We will have a very limited time to receive vaccine and get it administered to as many people as we have doses.
That was David Hopper from the McLean County Health Department speaking with Eric Stock. That's it for today. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines. The Motor City is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.